Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. I am, of course, Davis Maddock, joined by only Michael Gallagher on Monday. This our NBA show that we do on Mondays here on the show. Drew Dinkmeyer was busy this week, so he's bailing on us. But Mike, that's all right. We can hold the ship steady, I think.
I think so. Yeah, man, it's a pretty good week. We actually had last week was we got kind of lucky. Like I kind of led my column about this last week, like. Up until this weekend with John Morant going down, like we got really like for Kemba to be okay, like that was just so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Kemba was like very hurt.
Dude,
when
I know.
That happened.
I was like,
yeah.
What am I gonna do? Like I ran to pick up Wanamaker in like all my leagues, and yeah, but yeah, up until really Morant, like we got in, like, and I joke too, Anthony Davis got hurt and didn't go to the locker room in New Orleans. What?
Yeah, like, crazy. I mean, has he even missed a game yet this year? I don't think so.
Yeah. He back to back on a Wednesday or something. But yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah. All right.
Which he's had issues before, so he's gonna be. He is forever probable, man. Like it's so annoying.
Yeah. We get those alerts coming through every night, and you know, one of these days, you know for a fact he's gonna be probable, and he's not gonna play. Like it's just gonna happen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because last year, if you remember, I want to say the last seven or eight games as a Pelican, he was listed as probable and didn't play in all of them.
Right.
It was just like, and now it's probable again. Like he's seriously Mr. Probable.
But, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a pretty fun weekend. Like, we talked about this last week. Like the Thanksgiving schedule is always so weird. It's always like so heavy. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, no games Thanksgiving, Tuesday's late, Saturday's late. So very much like feast or famine. I guess that's kind of appropriate for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So the first thing that I wanted to start talking about, and I actually said this in the preseason, I took the over on the Toronto Raptors. And I think on the first show we did after the year started, we talked about the Raptors a bit as well. I think they're legit, and I think that if they chose to move some of their picks and maybe some of their fringe guys, so like, you know, Boucher is on that pretty friendly contract. They have some guys who are legitimate trade assets, and if they got a second tier kind of player, you know, not someone as good as Pascal, but someone to similar to help on offense, I think that the Raptors could be the best team in the East, even without, you know, a true superstar, which they do not have. True or false?
I mean, true. I mean, really, OG Anunoby's really stepped. I mean, everyone talks about Pascal. Like, he's just been on another level, like, much like, kind of like, almost like a Giannis-like growth where we saw post-break Giannis that year before the most improved, where he was like, oh my god, this guy's really good. And like, yeah, he can get better. So he's just been just both ends of the floor. He's just everywhere, man. Just like covers so much ground on defense and, you know, brings the ball up, all this and that. So all the talk of him playing, you know, he plays some three as well when they go super big. It's just such position flexibility. And I mean, losing Serge and Lowry for that long stretch, I mean, there's been really like no drop-off, especially with Lowry, who was, you know, really jumped on a lot of advanced statistics because he's handled the ball so well and, you know, he's a pretty good defender. But, like, literally their net rating is, like, almost identical with their current lineup with Norm Powell in there, basically swapping him in for Lowry. They're plus 15.5 and plus 15.4 with their normal starters with Lowry. So, yeah, I mean, they're pretty legit. They're way better than I thought. I mean, did you think they were going to be this good?
No, I didn't think they were going to be this good, but their path to being this good, there was two things. One, Pascal had to basically be as good as Kawhi. He hasn't been Kawhi, but he's been, like, he's having like a peak LaMarcus Aldridge year with defense, right? That's how I would describe Pascal right now.
More better and, passing too, man. It's just like he's so well-rounded.
Yeah, and Fred VanVleet would have to play as well as Lowry, and he is. Fred VanVleet, and another thing is FEV leads the NBA in minutes played per game, and I believe has not had to be rested for a game yet. Mm-hmm. So things are just going very well for them right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's even been on the injury report, I want to say. So, that's obviously been huge for him. And just the growth as a ball handler as well. And, you know, Pascal has helped him a lot there. But, I don't think Lowry's been hurt at all. I'm sorry, VanVleet's been hurt at all. Yeah, kind of going through the vertical stuff. Yeah, not even once. So that's awesome. But, yeah, I think they're, like, we talked about this last week too, when you were like, why are we so down in the Sixers? And we're like, yeah, they still have a 700 winning percentage, and it's just that the Raptors have been so
good. It's that the Raptors have been better than them. That's why. Yep. And that was not in people's season predictions at all.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we thought they were basically like in that 4, 5, 6, 7 range, maybe even 5, 6, 7, 8 range. With really the big three teams, Boston, Milwaukee, and then, you know, we kind of thought Raptors would be in there with the Heat as well. So, yeah, I mean, those two teams are – I mean, that's really the story of the season, just as far – I guess the Mavericks in the West. But, yeah, I'm pretty much sold. You know, they have depth where they need it. And like I said, just Boucher has been just tremendous. Really no drop-off from Serge to him. And we love Boucher for stats. It's going to be sad to see his minutes dip when Serge coming back, this Serge back. So, definitely, you know, DFS wise, like, they're, you know, not too great to play against because they're playing such good defense.
They're not too great to play against, and they're not great to play either, other than Pascal is he is a stud, but, you know, like, Van Vliet and these other guys, they all kind of trade off enough of the usage on offense that it ends up they all kind of cannibalizing each other. Can you think of a trade of them for them to make? Like, can you think of a guy?
I can't. Like, I don't know if I could see Masai doing something like that. You know, I don't really.
He would not if the Bucks, like, they get Middleton back and the Bucks are, they just steamroll. You know, if we get to January and February and the Bucks are still just steamrolling everyone, not a chance. But, you know, certainly they could do with, like, some kind of wing, right? Like, some kind of offense first wing. And it wouldn't even have to be, you know, I'm not talking about getting Paul George, but the guys that they are playing on the wing right now, they are all, like, mostly defense first style guys, like, you know, like, Hollis Jefferson, OG Anunoby, Stanley Johnson, Norman Powell, Terrence Davis. Like, I mean, maybe they kind of thought Matt Thomas was going to be that guy, and he's been hurt and not really been able to get off of the bench. So
Terrence Davis has been really good for the guy that got really no fanfare coming into the summer. So again, they have depth where they need it, man. OG has been great. Especially on, you know, he had no offensive game last year, and he's really blossomed into something that can actually play and handles the ball like a little bit. He's not just like one dribble and go anymore. So yeah, definitely. I still think that the Sixers are going to top them. Like, I still think they're going to probably be. I think that they're clearly in the top five, and that's kind of where they're at. I don't know if I buy them being the 2 seed. Do you?
All right. So, no, I don't. But okay, here's a trade. Here is my imaginary trade. Who do you view as the best asset of Boucher, Obi, and Norman Powell? Probably Anunoby.
OG, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Not even close. So OG and a lottery protected future first for Buddy Hield. Who says no?
Man. That's tough, dude.
Because Buddy has the – he's been signed to the
– I think the Kings would say no.
Yeah. So he's been signed to the extension. Yeah, Buddy's really good, and I think that he is the – he is a perfect type of – he's a perfect type of player for this team because he's not a – you know, he's not a super great defender, and he is very comfortable with the ball in his hands and can take some – like – and because Siakam in the playoffs – he is going to have a ton of defensive attention, more than he's ever had before.
Oh, for sure,
and that's going to be very tough for them. And I think Hield would really help them out. So
yeah, and just quickly on Hield, man, he had 2 points in the first half on Saturday, and the Kings had a 17 point comeback to beat the Nuggets in overtime. It was just like, we're going to talk about Jokic in a minute, but like, oh man, props to the Kings. But I left them for dead. Like, I'm wrong on that. I thought they were going to get steamrolled by not having De'Aaron Fox, but Hield's just stepped up. Bogdan's been great. Rashawn Holmes has just been – he's been like a league-winning ad in fantasy. And he – we'll talk about Jokic, but like, he's just been so, so good. And I don't know how – with Bagley coming back, how they're going to take minutes away from Holmes too. So definitely don't – like, if you have fantasy, don't sell high on Holmes. I think he won't be this good. Like, he's been like early round good, but I still think he'll be like top 50, top 75.
Yeah. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about is the Portland Trailblazers. And we talked about them a little bit on the last show with Carmelo. And so what I do when I get the agenda ready for this show is I kind of just go and look at Basketball Reference and see, okay, what is something that I just would not expect or that I think is anomalous here? And this is not anomalous, but the year over year part of it is, which is that again, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are likely to be top five in the NBA in minutes per game and in minutes played. I know that Dame has missed a little bit of time this year, so that will cut it out. But do you think that this is like a sustainable way for them to build the team? Or do you think, like, I personally kind of think there is a chance that McCollum is traded this season?
I mean, yeah, it makes sense just because the way the roster construction is built is just so – I mean, losing Zach Collins. Like, when you talk about losing Zach Collins being huge and you have to add Carmelo, like, that kind of shows you where they're at. And they've been playing well. But, you know, they beat the Bulls twice and they beat the Thunder. You know, Dame likes to play OKC apparently. So, I mean, they were horrible before that. Like, even with Dame in lineup on that Saturday game against the Cavs, like, they got whooped without Kevin Love playing. So, I definitely think it's definitely, you know, the schedule's been really nice to them. So, we'll see. I don't know who they have coming up, but I'm sure it has to be tougher. Like, you play Chicago twice, like, by default.
All right, let's trade.
They play the Clippers.
Let's trade CJ McCollum on this podcast. Do we think that CJ McCollum is the sort of player who you trade for him, you're a team with cap space, he's able to bring in another stellar free agent, and maybe you get a good first-round pick, and all of a sudden you have a core? Or do we think that he is a little bit worse than that?
He's great. You know, he's super durable, too. Other than he had that knee injury last year, but besides that and the foot issue that started his career, really, like, he is routinely hitting, like, 75 games. So, I give a lot of, you know, the availability factor is always big for me. But, yeah, he should get a lot. But, like, I say all those things about roster construction, but, like, I don't think they're going to trade him, man. Like, I don't see how any way they would do that, like, with – and just quickly, Carmelo Anthony is not going
to
be this
– Well, they would only do it if they – if, like, if they – like, if what happened to the Warriors happens to them where, like, if – so, Dame – let's say, like, Dame, you know, like, has to miss a month and, like that – they would only do it if this season was completely and utterly off the rails. I think it's unlikely, though I actually – I've never been a fan of the double guard roster construction. I think you know, the ideal team roster construction is guard wing or guard and big. Like, I think the double guard as your two best players, I think that's very tough.
Yep, I agree. But yeah, it's Dame is just, I think Dame is just that good where he could kind of, like, overcome that. But yeah, I mean, and also too, like, he shot the ball worse with Melo on the floor. I don't know if that's just, you know, small sample size or whatever, but yeah, I think they're gonna come back to earth. So yeah, I guess they could break the team apart. You know, CJ got paid, so you know, I don't think he would fetch what, you know, like an Anthony Davis trade obviously is the ultimate, but yeah, I don't think it'll be that much. But again, I'd be really surprised if they trade him. They are fans of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that organization definitely thinks that they have the that they have the right, like, build overall for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. All right, moving on. The Atlanta Hawks, Mike, they are last in the NBA in net rating, and they were supposed to be better this year. They were supposed to be the fun young team that, like, they're kind of on the border of playoff contention. Maybe they end up winning, like, 38 games or something, and it does not look like it's going to happen.
Yeah, so maybe John Collins is better on defense than we thought. Like, I think they were top
just having
10.
Someone big that can move. I mean, and Zach Lowe has made this point about Jokic before. It's not my point, but just having someone who's super big who can move in the post, like, that's probably worth a point of net rating on defense.
So actually, they're to start the season, they were eighth in defensive rating, and, like, I want to say, like, a 6-7 game sample at 102.8 defensive rating. In their last nine, 122 defensive rating is insanely bad. Like, Charlotte's distant 29th at 119. They're also playing at third fastest pace in the NBA. So, oh boy, like, it is DFS sexy against the Hawks. You just hope that there's no garbage time. They're first in free throw makes allowed over this stretch. They're allowed 128 points per game over the last 10. Like, it's just it beat downs. And Lloyd Pierce was asked about it. I mean, after the Rockets dropped 159 on, he's trying to talk about positives and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, Alex Lentz played better after the DNP CD'd him three games ago. Bruno Fernandes was just roasted, man. You know, he played in garbage time, and Lloyd Pierce talked about that. And I mean, Trey has just been just a traffic cone on defense, man. Like, it's so rough. And they're going to be, like, for if you ever do these splits, including these last few games, like, they're going to be so bad just because you drop 150 against you twice. But, yeah, I mean, they are, you know, we talked about they are fun, though. You know,
they're very fun. And Trey Young, you know, Trey Young, I think, is he's never going to be good enough to make the Luka Doncic Trey Young play, you know, not look silly. But, you know, whatever. He's good. He's fun. He will give, you know, the Falcons will have, you know, the Hawks, they will have, they'll have jerseys to sell. And, you know, they'll have a guy who, you know, 4 years from now when they give him the big contract extension, he'll be, you know, a guy who can recruit guys there. But, yeah, there are, I think, probably 4 years from now, is there going to be anyone from this roster still on the team other than Trey Young? Probably not.
And, I mean, Collins, right?
I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, yeah, there he's you. So what do you think he will get the max extension?
I mean, DeAndre Hunter too. Like DeAndre, man.
Oh yeah, I like him actually a lot. Yeah, yeah. That's a good
he
point. Got,
again, they put him on hard, and it was just like, oh my god, poor guy. I mean, no, this guy was a great defender in college. That was his thing, and that's why they drafted him. You know, like, oh, let's get a wing defender to help out offset this Trey bad defense. And like we saw, he's not quite there yet. And he was starting to come along offensively. Like he had a good game. I think he scored 16 on Saturday. And he had the big 28-pointer last week, or you know, a week and a half ago. So he's coming around too. So I think he's kind of fun. Bembry's was a letdown. I know a lot of people were on him for DFS on Saturday.
Oh, big time!
Yeah, and he was kind of annoying. But yeah, other than Cam, oh boy, Cam Reddish, dude. Like, talk about so far has just been horrible.
Yeah, very very bad.
Yeah, like he's shooting 29% from the field, 21 from three. He takes so many bad shots. It looked like he was coming around, but I think this whole wrist injury kind of derailed the momentum that he had really the last like 5 minutes against the Clippers in that blowout loss. Like it was like, oh, maybe he can actually be decent, but oof. He's not been very good, so I don't know where he's at. Kevin Huerter being out too hurts, so he should be coming back possibly this week or next week too, so that'll be big. And they're putting a lot on him too, a lot of point guard minutes, so
right.
Fantasy, I would definitely pick Huerter up. Hope you could stash him for however long it's going to be.
Yeah. All right. So as long as we're talking about teams that are fun for DFS, the Wizards, man. My analogy for the Wizards with them being the second highest pace and the lowest defensive rating in the NBA, are they the new process 76ers in terms of DFS matchup? And before you give your answer, I totally think they are. They have given up some crazy games in DFS so far.
Yeah, I'd say better, man. Because, I mean, the process 76ers were blown out a lot. So, you know, I know some people think that's an overblown kind of talking point.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're getting an extra 5, 6, 7 minutes. Like, that's going to help you even if – and but again, they're going to score a lot too. So they're high-scoring games, closer games. So those 4 or 5 minutes are more valuable. So, yeah, I think they're, like, super Chalk City, like, play dudes. And we've talked about this over in the preseason pod too. Like, they've even more so. They've been – just because they've been decent, you know. So, yeah, like, definitely play dudes. Rui Hachimura had a great game yesterday. And Thomas Bryant's been tremendous. Bradley Beal's finally started to click after that inefficient start. And even Jordan McRae, Orange Mamba's been pretty solid off the bench. So he's going to get more minutes, too, without CJ Miles around. So, yeah, this is, you know, them and the Hawks have been – and even the Cavs. I guess the Cavs, because they're not very good either. Yeah, they've been just great teams to play against.
Yeah, but the like you said though, the Wizards, I guess the thing is the Wizards are actually they're decent on offense, right? Like they are not
on offense. I think they're like top 5 in offensive rating. So
yeah. So I mean they have had games where they lose by, you know, 25 or whatever, but most of their losses have kind of been of the competitive variety where like, you know, where guys aren't sitting the entire fourth quarter. And, you know, they kind of have, I actually think the Wizards maybe have the bones of something here. I think Mo Wagner is like a pretty good big coming off of the bench. I really like Rui Hachimura, and of course Bradley Beal is he's not a superstar. He's kind of that second tier. But yeah, like this is a pretty good NBA team. Not pretty good. I think they have the bones of what could be a good team 2-3 years from now. I actually don't know their pick situation though.
It's pretty solid. I don't think they have anything giving up. And they, don't forget this. We haven't talked about John Wall yet. So, that contract's really bad now. And they do have holes at point guard. Like, Isaiah Thomas has not been very good. And they were running out him and Ish Smith together, I want to say 2 games ago. It was like, oh, man, that's how bad their guard situation is besides Bradley Beal. But, they're, like, 21st in net rating. So, again, they're minus 3.6, which is better than the Spurs. So, I mean, they're playing pretty well. I thought for sure they were going to be like bottom 4 or 5. We talked about how bad them and the Hornets are going to be, vying for like top 5 lottery position. And they've been, pretty solid. 6-12 isn't a great record, but, playing close games. That one like super shootout against the Rockets on that Friday game, like that was such a fun game. So, yeah, they definitely have – if I had to probably rank like top 5, I guess – pleasant surprises for guys that are playing well, they'd definitely be in there. And then the Hornets too, they play, they're getting roasted on defense too. So they're another team that, there's a lot of teams to target right now. Just cause so many defenses have been so bad.
Do we think that, Isaiah Thomas is going to get, right now he is the complementary point guard in the Wizards offense because he plays with Bradley Beal and then he goes off the floor and Ish Smith runs the offense. But do we think that Isaiah Thomas next season, when he is, I believe he's just on a 1-year minimum deal with Washington. Do we think that some team gives him 3 years, $15 million and makes him their starting point guard?
Nah. I mean, it's been pretty clear that he can't be a starting point guard anymore.
Yeah.
So that he's playing starting point guard out of necessity. Like if John Wall didn't hurt himself, he would be starting, obviously. And we don't even know if Isaiah would be in the rotation. They may just play Ish over him.
They might just play Ish. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's kind of sad, honestly, for Isaiah. He was so awesome in Boston. Yeah.
MVP candidate, man. He was a first rounder in fantasy that year, too. So. It was just like to go from that to this is just, really almost unheard of, to have that. And right in the prime of his career too,
So. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. He played for this is now his fifth team or his sixth team. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. You would never have thought, like, if you remember back in the Kings days, he was the pizza guy, had all these commercials and stuff. Like he was so beloved by everybody. And then, the Phoenix kind of
I lied. I literally forgot he played for Phoenix. He's on his seventh team.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So he was so fun and, he got to the line so much earlier in his career too. Like,
oh my gosh, do you remember those Phoenix teams?
Yeah. The ones that had like 30 guards. Now they have Rubio now, but it's kind of
crazy. They had Bledsoe, Dragic, Knight, and Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy. And then like Dragic just basically asked for a trade and Bledsoe's famous salon, I don't want to be here tweet, top 10 tweet of all time.
Never forget Dragic's little brother was on that team as well.
Zoran, yep.
Yeah. And played like 4 minutes. Wow. Dude, basketball is the best. That would never happen in the NFL. Would never happen in the NFL where like, so you literally sign your guys, like the guy you want to sign, you sign his brother to a minimum deal. Like that would only ever happen in the NBA.
Adding Kostas Antetokounmpo is like going to be a thing. Like seriously.
Oh, I thought it was, Thanasis.
Both of them. Yeah. But I'm just saying that Kostas is like a little bit more of an unknown where we don't know how good he's going to be yet, where we know that Thanasis isn't really very good.
Yeah. But
now he had some good run, with the Knicks. He had a couple highlight games. But, like you said, the whole DeAndre Jordan thing, like just signing him as a friend, like is the most valuable thing. And the net, by the way, the Nets really quick, like they've really stepped up without Kyrie. So, props to them. And, oof, man, hopefully – I don't. I'm very anti-drafting Kyrie in fantasy for season long, just because he's hurt all the time. But oof, this is not good.
How good has Dinwiddie been?
So good. Yeah, another guy who's like almost like, you know, he's almost like how Isaiah played, like when he was good. You know, just really slashing, has a perimeter game, can drive and kick, can do so many things. So he's really stepped up. So really, like, the Nets are missing their, you know, perceived top three players in Kyrie, Durant, and LeVert. That was really the core they were talking about. Everyone's like, oh, and like, I know Zach Lowe talks about this all the time, but like, did they trade LeVert? Like, for how well Dinwiddie's played without him? So yeah, it's because LeVert has a very team friendly deal, and I'm a full on LeVert enthusiast. So and he was playing terrible before he got hurt too. So yeah, they've been fun. I grew up a Nets fan. I don't know if you knew that, but yeah.
I did not know that. How has that never come up before in all the shows we've done?
Yeah, I don't talk about that too much.
But, why did you bail on them?
I mean, I just watch everybody now. You know, it's kind of like, and I'm still, I think I just play too much fantasy, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Like I used to be a Jets fan. I'm still a Mets fan pretty hard, but yeah, I think, like, what about you? Like, I know you seem like you've diluted on your fandom on some stuff, right?
Like, well, yeah. So, like, you know, I actually, you know, what's funny is for basketball, I actually still am a pure fan because I, like, I play DFS, but I don't play season long NBA. Yeah. So I think when you play season long, it makes you hate the coaches because you feel like the coaches are like, they're purposely doing it to mess with you.
So many people love bashing coaches on Twitter. It's like, oh, I'm like, what's, I don't get the point, man.
Right. And also, there's like the thing where like in NFL, the analytics community is way behind, but in NBA, the most of the team's analytics are actually way ahead of anything can. So yeah, it's a little like different.
Whole departments of it, you know?
Right. So I am still a pretty big Oklahoma City Thunder fan, though after Durant left, which I like, you know, I never was one of those people that was like, I hate you, Kevin Durant. Like, it was a great decision for him to make, but just that everyone who grows up being a big sports fan remembers this, where like that first moment where you realize you're way more invested in it than the athletes are themselves. Yeah. In terms of like the organization. And it's not to say that was anything wrong that Kevin Durant did. Like, that just was enough for me to take a step back and be like, yes, I like the Thunder. No, I don't need to live and die with every win or loss that they have.
Dude, that July 4th morning, I just remember refreshing my phone like every second, like, oh, come on, you know, like Players Tribune on alerts. And it was like, oh, come on, come on, come on. It was like one of the craziest things ever. That's the NBA, man. NBA offseason, we talk about all the time, is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I am at with that. So the Grizzlies dealing with a Ja Morant injury, and this is going to bring about one of my favorite seasons, which is Tyus Jones' season. I actually love Tyus Jones for DFS. He's one of my favorite.
Love Tyus. He's been pretty effective as a passer at point guard. He's a 9 assists per 36. When he's point guard without Morant on the court, hasn't shot the ball well. He's really good in steals. Doesn't really rebound. That's fine. But yeah, he's going to be really good. He didn't play very well last night in, you know, a revenge game. They gave him the welcome video too. So I was let down with Tyus only playing 25, but I think he'll play a little bit more. But we kind of saw they were really banged up. Brandon Clark's out again tonight. We know that Morant's out for quote-unquote week-to-week after aggravating his back injury on Friday, so he's going to miss some time. Definitely add Tyus in fantasy. But, yeah, we saw the rotation. It was pretty straightforward, like first unit, second unit, with De'Anthony Melton, who's basically been their third-string point guard. He only has 8 minutes all season next to Ja Morant or Tyus. He was the backup, but he was tremendous. And I am a big Melton guy. Huge steal rate. He could pass. We always thought that the Suns were going to play him at point more. And don't forget, like, they had the whole Josh Jackson trade, but it was for Melton why they made that trade. And we're finding that out here. So I would love to see him come in. And, you know, he shot the ball a lot, went to the line 4 times. So I think Melton's going to be super sneaky in DFS, especially if the Grizzlies aren't very good, although they won last night. So he's going to be pretty good. And then we saw the rest of the rotation was Grayson Allen was basically the two, and then Marco Guderich was the three. And they're going to get pretty thin there too without Clark. So Solomon Hill has really been their four man now. So that's going to be, I guess, makes him somewhat valuable in super deep deep leagues or possible DFS punts. Not that you're really going to love to play Solomon Hill, but hey, minutes are minutes. And again, a team that plays pretty fast. But yeah, they're going to run a lot of small ball lineups. So we're going to see a lot of Grayson Allen. Again, Gutierrez as well at the three, who's again backing up Crowder. Crowder's going to have to play a ton of four. So yeah, Jaren Jackson is going to have to play a lot too. And Bruno Caboclo too. He was really their backup five man to Jaren Jackson Jr. So a whole lot of value here with Morant. And then also don't forget Valanciunas didn't play too. So that'll cut into Caboclo a little bit. Until then, like, and maybe Bruno could play some four, you know, so they want to play him 3-5. So he's probably super sneaky.
Well, and what's crazy is that at least for some of these early games, like Kyle Anderson is banged up. Whereas I think like we would have just assumed that Kyle Anderson would have taken over a bunch of the ball handling duties, but I think he's probably not going to be available for a couple games at least this week.
Yeah, he's had that heel thing before, so that's going to peep him out. Yeah, but like again, they just got hit so fast. So like if you play in like a 20 team league, like check out Memphis, like filter by Memphis if you play in ESPN. By the way, not to rip on Yahoo, I hate how they don't filter by team. That tilts me. That's tilted me for years.
Yeah, I don't even, dude. I literally don't even know because I don't play season long basketball. What's your favorite platform to play season long basketball?
Okay, so this is kind of, I don't care. Like I'll play on anything. So there's people out there, and I don't give any names, but like there's multiple people who like won't play on a platform because it's on that platform. That's so whack to me. And I've told people that to their faces, like, that's so lame that you won't play on, like, that's why you don't want to play. Like, oh, I love to play, but oh, it's on Yahoo or oh, it's on ESPN. Like, sure, I have preferences. But I run them on both. And I like ESPN. So the thing I like most about ESPN is the way they have their, when it locks. So, like, you could pick up dudes for tomorrow when the first game goes on. So say the first game's at 7. You could pick up, you know, those guys that are on your roster till 7 or for that day, but your ads are after 7, after tips, or for tomorrow. So I kind of like that. The run over on Yahoo, if you don't do next day, if you do day of, you have to, like, wait until it clears. So sometimes if I know it's going to be a good pickup day, like, I'll stay up till – I live on the West Coast, so I'll stay up, like, till 11. And I play in a ton of leagues, so it's worth it to me to stay up and pick up guys. That's how lame I am, but, yeah. Answer your question. I really don't care. I play pretty evenly on both.
Yeah. I like Yahoo's format for fantasy football the best, but I could see the way it's organized for football being tilting for basketball. Yeah. With like the way you need the teams.
Yeah, and a lot of people like to play on Yahoo more. And actually, so ESPN, they admittedly made an error in their ranks. They had like say put too much value on rebounding, so a lot of like bigs were up really high. One league I actually drafted because I don't like abusing the default ranks and all this and that. Like I like to draft, and people who are sharp like to draft on bad rankings. You know that we could kind of like scroll down and find everybody who you need to find. So one league I actually drafted on ESPN and then basically put the draft results in on Yahoo. Which is kind of fun, but it's called the Killer Crossover League. But it's interesting, you know. Like, do you play on both, right?
I play for football. For football, I think I literally have a league on every site except for CBS because CBS you have to pay for their commissioner software, and all of my buddies, none of my buddies are trying to. They're not trying to spring for that.
Oh hell no! Yeah, no rake, man. No rake in season long. But and do you play on sleepers?
Yeah, I have two leagues on sleeper.
Yeah, I have sleeper. Yeah. I kind of like it. We did a draft in there. It was great.
Yeah, I do like the ability for everything to be to be super customizable. So,
and by the way, like, can someone please invent where like if like Tyus Jones, like I wish there was just like one button I could click, like oh add Tyus Jones to all my teams, and then like it would like prompt me who I drop, just go drop him. Just do it one fell swoop like that. That'd be so dope.
Well, that exists for football. A couple sites have that for football where it's like a third party app. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm sure it just doesn't exist for basketball quite yet. Next thing we got to talk about it.
Mega tangent there.
So we got to talk about Jokic, man. Like, dude.
Dude.
Where are we at with Jokic?
So I decided on Saturday that I'm officially worried about him. I wish Dink was on.
He's averaging for people who maybe are not day to day super watchers of the NBA. He's averaging 15 points. That would be his fewest amount since his rookie year. He is averaging 10 total rebounds, but his offensive rebound rate is down, which we would assume when your offensive rebound rates, we would attribute that to effort and to energy, or at least I would. And his percentages are down relative to last year. His free throw rate is way down. His free throw percentage are down. Like what's going on?
I don't know. And I joked with you over this over the weekend, like, I think he may have mono. he looks like, I thought he was going to pass out on Saturday, man. Like, he just looks so tired all the time. And I wanted to split. I was trying to split his like speed. You could second spectrum tracks how fast guys move. And he's 12th slowest in the NBA. As far as average speed, surprisingly, Harden's actually slowest, which is kind of interesting. But I want to see if he like played slower in the second half, because like it feels like
it's not surprising for Harden to be slow, because he literally just doesn't move unless he has the ball.
Yeah, exactly. But so he just looks so, in the fourth quarter, he just looks like he's so done, dude. He's just like ready to check out. You know, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like we saw again, we talk about this all the time. But like people ripping on him for looking out of shape in the preseason, like has that finally caught up to him or something? Because it's just rough, dude. Like and we talk about like the slower pace and all the time. Like I mentioned this before, like Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, and Will Barton play so much faster when they're not next to Jokic. So he's starting to play like a little bit faster. Like there were a couple of spike games against the Wizards, for instance. That was a big pace game. That was their season high, like 108 or something. So, and actually, so my friend had texted me, like, someone offered me Bam for Jokic, which would have been insane, like, during draft season. Like, people were taking Jokic 6 or 7, and Bam, I was taking Bam in the third all day, but, like, he was going, like, 5th or 6th round. So that would be, like, you know, instant reject posted on your league message board, like, what the hell are you offering me this crap for? But, dude, like, Bam for Jokic is super fair in season long. Like
I would say you'd feel better about the Bam side right now. Like you would just start him and you would not even sweat him. You'd be like, yep, nope, all that makes sense.
Yeah, and he took it. The reason why he took it was not because he thinks Jokic is better. He took it because he has Bam in like every league, so he wanted to diversify a little bit. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, you know, take it. It's fair. And like you said, Bam's safe as hell right now. And Jokic, I'm just dumbfounded. And like when I'm like this much at a loss and like it's my job to know, like I tend to like shy, and you're probably the same way. Like if you don't have an answer, you feel bad about it. You know, like,
if I can't pinpoint the reason for something, I do with sports, like it feels bad because it's our job, so it feels bad to just raise your hands and say I don't know.
Yeah And I mean, I've spent hours on end, like, what's going on here? Like, looking at different splits with different guys, and it's like super discouraging all over the place. So, I mean, he just looks so done. Like, I don't think we're that far off from Mason Plumlee taking minutes from him. Like, that sounds insane, but maybe.
I will stand the Plumlee brothers forever. They're so good for DFS because, dude, they don't care about anything but their points. Like, they are some of the best stock accumulators and rebound accumulators you'll ever find for like those min-sal DFS guys. Like, they love to get their stats.
Yeah, and I guess to quantify it this way, like I mentioned, the second half, his offensive rebounding rate is 5.5% in the second half from 7.1% in the first half. So I guess that's, you know, mentioned like effort. That's something. But his usage rate is actually higher in the second half. And he's always been kind of slow to start games. But, I'm officially worried about him. Like, if we were drafting today, I think he'd probably be, like, late first, early – like, I still like him a lot. Like, but
I mean, I don't think I've played him in DFS, like, in my cash game lineups. I'm pretty sure I've not played him once.
Dude, and he's missing easy shots. Like, again, props to Rashawn Holmes for defending him so well. But, you know, he's not getting around dudes anymore. Like, he used to be able to go around guys. And now he's kind of just, like, pulling up in that 6'7" to 8" range rather than at the rim. But, I wish Dink was on this one. But we'll have to save it for next weekend or next week.
Well, well, I mean, this is going to be one of the biggest stories of the year because, like, he was a guy who was getting, you know, MVP chatter at set points last year, and now he's like he's playing like Miles Plumlee, basically.
So, that's kind of. I'm trying to think of another guy who I'd rather have. Like, I definitely take Drew, and people will probably think that. Like, back, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, people thought that would have been crazy. But like Drew's ahead of him, Beal's ahead of him, like all those late first guys that we talked about.
Yeah,
like, I think easily Luka. Obviously, I'd probably take Trey over him.
That's not even close. Yeah no doubt.
Yeah, just for fantasy, but yeah, because like, nobody Jokic didn't go past 8 and really 7.
Dude, next year, you and I should co-manage. Like a high stakes season long fantasy team. So, we got to do that. Cause I would love to be able to sweat this.
Managing though. I hate it.
You would not have to ask me anything. I just I would just like to have something to sweat.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season long hoops is it's my jam obviously. So.
Yeah. All right. So, another thing we have here. Actually, I want to end it. I want to end it on this. We're going to skip this one thing and leave this for next week. So okay. I think the Nuggets, Jazz, Lakers, Clippers, Rockets, and Mavericks, they're all making the playoffs. Do you disagree with any of that six?
For sure, yeah. The Mavs have ascended to that tier now, I think.
Because Luka's so good. Yeah.
So freaking good, yeah.
So I'm tilted.
I don't have any Luka, and I'm so tilted about it.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
That's
like,
tough.
He went from 69% at the line, and now he's, like, one of the best guys for free throws in season long. So it's just crazy. There has to be, like, a Luka Doncic podcast, like – I'd imagine, right? Like
eventually there will be.
Yeah, he's like that good. You could talk about him for like seriously a half an hour or 60 minutes every week. So.
Just recapping all the stuff he's done.
Oh yeah, there's like he's been like one of the funnest guys to look up for stats. Like he's leading the league in time of possession, just like so ball dominant. Against the Suns, he had 29 of 32 points scored or assisted. Like we said this last week, like he basically is Harden for his offense. So it's just so cool. But I'm with you on the six teams for sure.
So what are our picks for the 7 and the 8 seeds? I think I have the two that I think are most likely. I think the Warriors and the Grizzlies and the Spurs are 0%. I think there is no chance that those teams make it.
Warriors, Grizzlies, and Spurs, yeah, I would agree with that.
So I think the remaining spots are the Wolves, Thunder, Blazers, Suns, Kings, and the Pelicans. I think those are the remaining teams. And the Pelicans are very thin, and I would say it's 0% if Zion is not back in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think the Pelicans are – I think the Wolves, obviously, they have the edge in the standings. But they're playing good, man. I like how they're playing. And they have really the best player in Kat. I like their new rotation. I think Culver's starting to get a little bit better, although he still can't hit free throws. But, I like this new rotation they have, too, just as a quick aside. Like, they've basically made Wiggins the point guard. They've had him, Teague subbing in for him a lot. We saw Shabazz Napier stepping back in and subbing in for Culver, too. So that's kind of just interesting substitution pattern. That I picked up on. But, yeah, I think they're probably the clear one. And then after that, it's so open. And that's why I still have a lot of hope for the Pelicans as someone who's pretty invested in them, at least for my hashtag brand, because I was so standing for Jrue Holiday so hard in the summer. But I still – it's tough, though, man. Like, I really wouldn't feel good about anybody besides the Wolves. I think when Zion comes back, like you said, if we knew Zion comes back, like I think they'd be my team to pick. But that uncertainty, and they are going to be so careful with him when he returns, man. So it's going to be really tough for them to dig out of this hole that they're in. But they're only 3 games out of the 8 spot, so it's not like they're left for dead. So I'd probably pick them. Perhaps biased, but I don't feel good about the Suns. I don't feel good about the Kings. I don't feel good about the Thunder.
See, the Kings is the team I want it to be. I like their players, and I like I kind of like their core of guys. So that's who I want it to be. I do think though that the most likely outcome is that it's going to be the Timberwolves and the Blazers though.
Yeah, I think the Blazers, like, if you like did a poll of people, I think that would probably be the pick. But I don't. We talked about it a second ago. Like, this Carmelo thing is such a false positive to me, man. Like,
oh, totally.
Against terrible defenses, like, you play the Bulls twice, man. Like, you're gonna go off on them. So I definitely, like, if you have Carmelo in a season long league, and if you follow me, like, I don't know how you would have Carmelo. I just trade him, dude. Like, do whatever you can to trade him. I feel like you could probably get like top 75 for him. That'd be like awesome. But, you know, we bashed him. We were like, oh, could he even make it to the guarantee date? I think he's kind of pushed past that because he can still run around and move. But, yeah, it's so we're like full on out on the Spurs right now, right? Like,
yeah.
Dude, they look so bad. Like, I cannot believe how – and DeJounte, man, like, oh, it's such a bummer that he's just been relegated to a backup role. And they're not,
yeah, like what he, like what happened with that? They loved him.
Dude, he had that 26-minute game, and it was like, oh, yeah, because he even did – stuck at 24 like all season, and then they finally upped and was like, all right, here we go, and nope. Pop is searching for answers, and like they got destroyed last night by Christian Wood and the Pistons. Freaking Christian, props to myself for putting him in waiver wired on Thursday, by the way.
There we go.
Shout out to myself. But because he took over the backup job from Thon Maker, and Wood is such a stat stuffer. Just a quick aside on him. But yeah, dude, that's, I don't feel good about anybody. Who would you say? So okay, actually, quick on the Kings though too. We talked about this too. Like, I thought they were going to be dead without Fox. So when Fox comes back and Bagley comes back, like, maybe I'm underselling them. Like, maybe I just, I don't know. Yeah, but I guess the Kings are probably right there too.
Like, yeah, I mean the Kings are right there because the Blazers have been so bad, not because they've been really good.
Yeah.
That's
like,
it.
I'd take them over the Suns. I take them obviously over those three teams we mentioned, and over the Thunder too. So they're definitely,
yeah, the Thunder are not going to make it, and probably don't even want to.
Yeah, it's definitely that group of. So are we like out on the Suns then, or
just like feels? I don't know. There's something about it does feel kind of like there's, like
they're
false.
They're going to Suns it up. That's what they do, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they have players that contribute to winning basketball now because they have, you know, they got Ricky Rubio, and they have, you know, some more competent backup bigs behind DeAndre Ayton. So yeah, like I think that is it's definitely possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, Booker's played a lot better. He's vastly improved his efficiency as a scorer because he's playing off ball a little bit more. So. But yeah, maybe, you know, they lost a tough one because Luka, like I mentioned, just went insane in the first half. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, maybe we're not. I think they're just like I said, it's just we're just so used to the Suns just screwing up somehow.
Right.
We saw they're, you know, they're not without Rubio. They can take it. They can take a hit. But yeah, they're really starting to slide in standings after that great start.
Yeah. All right, man. Tell people about what you guys have going on for Roto-World, and we'll be on our way.
Yeah, not much new. Just got the Thursday call. It's been going great. Hasn't been, like I mentioned, hasn't been a great crop of pickups last week. I mentioned, you know, I just love writing that waiver wire column. Just one of my favorite things to always talk about, that in DFS. But that was fun. And then, yeah, Friday pod, and then, you know, Twitter it up. Always haven't been as I thought I'd be more involved in Twitter this year, but I'm not quite as much as I should be. So hopefully I'm going to.
No, man, stay off of Twitter. It's a cesspool, dude.
What a bad week for Twitter. But
stay off of Twitter, man. All right, everyone, make sure to check out Mike's stuff over at rotoworld.com. Check out all of our NBA DFS content on dailyroto.com, and we will be back next week.